Well, this is part two of our series on Proverbs, and we're going to have a good time tonight. I'm going to cover as much material as I can until we just absolutely run out of time. So about 10 o'clock, I'll quit, and then we'll go home. But if you want to, turn in your Bibles with me to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Again, we're going to look at many scriptures tonight. Joshua chapter 1. I want to read this verse, and I apologize. I, for some reason, did not make a slide of this verse, but I want to read it to you. You can follow along, and I want to read it to you out of the Amplified. And let me say this before we get into the message tonight, and that is, in all the material that we're going to cover tonight, please do not worry about it if you miss something. Everything is online. It's already out there right now, so you can actually go to our website, go to this message, and you can follow along with the notes there. All right, so Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, I'm going to read it out of the Amplified Bible because there's a particular phrase that I want to highlight. And it says, "This book of the law," this is God talking to Joshua, "shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe and do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous." And here's what I wanted us to hear. "And then you shall deal wisely." Everybody say wisely. "You shall deal wisely and have good success." So God's plan for our lives is that we deal every day with wisdom. Everything that we come in contact with on a day-to-day basis, God wants us to deal wisely in those things. And then I like the last part of that, and have good success. You know, success is good, but when you have good success, that's even gooder. And so I want us to understand that God wants us to deal wisely. Now, I'm going to take just a couple of minutes, and I want to review some high points from last week. So again, if you missed something, because I'm going to go through these pretty quick, but we said last week that God is the source of all wisdom. Many people look for wisdom in all kinds of different sources, but God is ultimately the source of all wisdom. It all comes from Him. And then He says in His Word this, He says, "The reverence of God is the beginning of wisdom." And you know, you might read in Proverbs and other books where it says the fear of the Lord, but we know fear, we're not afraid of God, but we do revere and we honor God. And so that's where you start. That's where wisdom begins, is in the reverence of God. And then we said this, we need to understand what the difference is between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is where you take information from the Word in. Knowledge is what we receive from the Word of God. And so knowledge is important. You need to have a good working knowledge of the Word of God so that you know what God has said, so you can get to know the ways and the things of God. But here's the key, and what's the difference in knowledge and wisdom is this. Wisdom is the correct application of that knowledge. Wisdom is being able to take knowledge that you have from the Word of God and be able to apply it to your life. I made the comment last week, you know, that I've known Christians who knew a lot of the Bible, but they didn't know how to apply it to their lives, and so they lacked wisdom. And it's different to know a lot of the Scriptures and to know a lot of the Bible, which is important, as I mentioned. But what God is wanting us to do in order to deal wisely in the affairs of life, He wants us to be able to correctly act and apply on the Word of God in our life. And so we looked at the life of Solomon, King Solomon, who wrote the book of Proverbs, and we found out, where did he get wisdom? Anybody remember when we talked about that last week? How did Solomon get the wisdom that he had? It's very simple. Yeah, he asked for it. So wisdom comes from God when we ask for it. We need to ask for it. And we're going to talk a little bit more about this in a few moments, but wisdom comes from God when we ask for it. So you and I need to ask God for wisdom. And I'm, you know, not just the big things in life. Now, God expects us to have some common sense. Like, you don't need to pray about what clothes you're going to wear tomorrow. You don't need to pray about whether, you know, you need to eat or whatever. No, you need to do those things. But what God gives us wisdom for is the day-to-day activities. And how many of you know we need wisdom in dealing with people? I mean, absolutely. And then you need wisdom for creativity on your job and things like that. So wisdom comes from God when we ask for it. And then the Bible talks about get wisdom, that we need to obtain wisdom. But then the Scripture also talks about how we need to retain wisdom. Once you gain it, you need to hold on to it. So how do you hold on? How do you retain wisdom, and that's this, that we retain wisdom by meditating on God's Word. We retain wisdom by meditating on God's Word. The more you meditate on the Word of God, the more wisdom you're going to obtain, but then you're going to be able to maintain that which you have obtained. All right, a lot of tane there, but you know what I'm saying. So you need to retain wisdom by meditating on the Word of God. Now let's go and let's look at Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1. It says this, Proverbs 1, 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. And here's the purpose, he said in verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. And so we said in the Hebrew language, the word wisdom there is the Hebrew word, and it's pronounced chokmah, and it really means this, and I looked it up, and the commentaries were saying it this way, that it literally means to pound in something. I used this illustration last week. How many of you memorized the multiplication tables? Okay, how did you do it? Well, your parents either sat down with you or somebody sat down with you when you were a kid, and it came time to learn that. And I don't know about you, but back in the day, we had to write them all the time. You had to write them over and over and over and over again. And so that's what that means, to pound that end, drive it in, so that it never leaves you. How many of you still remember the multiplication tables today? All right, because of that work that we put in. Well, God's Word is the same way. So if the more time and attention we give to the Word of God and we drive it into our hearts, the wisdom will come. The wisdom will be there. All right, so here's how we wrapped up last week, and that is this. We must pound the Word of God into our souls. In other words, just spend time with it. Go over it and over it and over it. I know of people, and I've done this some myself, we'll take index cards and write scriptures on index cards and put them places where you look. If it's the bathroom mirror or the refrigerator, whatever place you look at most or you're there, put those things in front of you so it stays there. That's why we make things like healing scriptures available to you so you can keep that word before you and drive it down into your heart. All right, so now we also talked about this, and I want to start moving into what we're going to cover tonight. We said this, that a proverb is a two-line poem. So as we dissect the book of Proverbs, and I want to say this, the reason that we're going into such detail about this book is because, first of all, number one, I encourage you, read this book often. It's 31 chapters. You can read a chapter a day. And if you do that every day, you'll have read it 12 times in 1 year. And so I encourage everybody to do that because of the wisdom that's contained in it. And then, the thing that if you need to understand that, but understand what you're reading. It's a great thing to read the Bible, and it's a great thing to read through Proverbs, but it doesn't mean anything if you don't understand it. So we need to understand some of the dynamics of Proverbs so you can understand what was being said and so forth. All right? So a proverb is a two-line poem. In the Hebrew word for proverb is the Hebrew word moshal, and it really means this. It's a comparison. It's a metaphor. We said last week that it's a rule or a standard, and we use the illustration. And I noticed the other day I was down the street here in the business park. I noticed they had planted some new trees. And how many of you have ever seen when they plant new trees how they'll put those stakes in the ground and tie the line to the tree? Well, why do they do that? So that the tree, can't do its own thing? No, the tree still grows, but what it does is it gives the tree a standard, so the tree just doesn't grow this way. They want the tree to grow straight up, so what they do is they put those things in the ground to set a standard. Well, that's what the book of Proverbs, or the Word of God, really is for us, is a standard so that if we'll stay attached to it, we'll grow in the direction that God wants us to grow in. So that's really what a proverb is. It's a comparison, it's a metaphor, it's a rule or a standard. And using that illustration, it's to guide us and to help us grow in the way God wants us to grow. Okay, let's go back to Proverbs 1:1, and we're going to begin to dissect this. All right, Proverbs 1:1 says this, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, and then he breaks down what the purpose of this is for. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple. I don't know why it combined give prudence, but anyway, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. And then verse 6, to understand a proverb and an enigma, that's a fancy word for saying the interpretation, and then the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So what I want to do is I want to take a few moments tonight, and I want to tell you what the six types of proverbs are that you're going to find in the book of Proverbs. And if you'll kind of get a handle on this, it'll help you understand the book as you're reading it. All right, so there's six types of proverbs that you're going to find in the book of Proverbs. So here's the first one. Number one is a synonymous proverb. A synonymous proverb. If you're like me, I have to be hooked on phonics and sound that out while I'm writing it. At least that's the way I had to do when I was typing it. But here's what a synonymous proverb is. It's where both lines in the two-line poem are saying basically the same thing, but in a little different way. And I'm going to help you identify these. And you know what's cool about this is you're going to be reading through the book of Proverbs, and you're going to find some of these, and you're going to say, oh, that's one of those. And you'll be able to say, that's a synonymous proverb. All right, so let me give you some examples. Here's one. Proverbs 3:13 says this, happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. Now let me ask you a question. In this particular proverb, what is the point of it? It says, happy is the man who does this and the man who does this. So what is the point? Happy is the man. Okay? So both lines are saying the same thing, but just a little bit different. All right? So you can find happiness by finding wisdom, and you can also find happiness by gaining understanding. So that's what this one is saying. Here's another example. Proverbs 11:25 says this, the generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will be watered himself. So what's this proverb saying? It's saying that when, you know, essentially like Luke 6:38, when you give, it shall be given back to you. So this proverb, the point of this is saying, if you're generous, you will receive in life. And so both lines are saying the same thing. All right, here's one more, 11:30. Proverbs 11:30 says this, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. Now, that doesn't sound like they're the same, but it really is. What is the fruit of righteousness? If you're bearing fruit as a righteous person, what does that mean? How about it means that you're influencing others to live a righteous life? In other words, you're pointing the way to Christ. All right, you're ministering the gospel. All right, so the fruit of your righteousness is going to be a tree of life. Now, does a tree eat its own fruit? No, the fruit is for other people. So the fruit of righteousness that comes off your life is for other people. The other line says this, and he who wins souls is wise. So really, the second line is defining the first line for us. All right, so that's a synonymous proverb. That's what that means. Here's the second type of proverb that you're going to see, and it's called an antithetical. Antithetical proverb. Anti meaning against or opposite. So what this means is the thought is presented in the first line, and then the negative result is given in the second line. You'll see this a lot in Proverbs. You know, you ever had your mother tell you, if you do this, then this is what's going to happen? Your mother was citing Proverbs the whole time. I mean, you know. All right, that's an antithetical saying. So the thought is presented in the first line and the negative result is presented in the second line. Here's an example. Proverbs 14:30 says this, a sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. Now, let me explain what this means. A sound heart is life to the body. The word heart there kind of has two meanings. It can mean physical heart. But where is envy found? In somebody's heart, okay? Just like jealousy and all those other things. So what he's saying is a sound heart is life to the body. So if you have a pure heart, if you keep your heart pure, it's going to affect you physically. But if you let envy get inside you, it's also going to affect you. Now, you'll read many proverbs that talk about bones. Anybody ever noticed that before? The reason being is, and they knew this medically back there in this time, that let me ask you a question from a medical standpoint. What part of your body produces blood? Your marrow in your... Okay? So what they believed is that the purity of your life, both physically and spiritually, but let's say physically for a moment, flowed out of your bones. So if you had envy in your heart, it was going to cause rottenness in your bones, which in turn was going to affect your whole life. All right? So that's why you see that a lot in the book of Proverbs. All right? Here's another example of what I'm telling you. This scripture says this, a merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. This is really saying that when you have, when things are right in your heart, it will affect your physical body like medicine. You know, this is a medical proven fact that what is going on in people psychologically and emotionally does affect you physically. It's supported by the scripture, but it's a medical fact. The antithetical part of this is, but a broken spirit dries the bones. In other words, you ever seen anybody with a broken heart? And eventually it leads to some type of physical illness? Okay, well again, this is what it's saying. So here's another one. Proverbs 15:5 says this, a fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent. All right? See, and this is actually reversed, but a fool despises his father's instruction. So how many of you, maybe us guys are worse at this than you girls are, but, you know, wasn't it amazing when you were a teenager how dumb your parents were? I mean, anybody else remember that? I mean, come on. I mean, let's be honest, okay? And so we were foolish back then because we despised maybe some instruction that our parents were trying to give us, okay? But then it says this, but he who receives that correction, maybe as a young person, is prudent. In other words, and that word prudent means this, wise and practical things. Yeah, you know, it's amazing to me how smart my mother got when I was about 25 years old. I don't know what it was. She was dumb as a rock when I was a teenager, but something happened. Either she went to school or something when I graduated and moved out, but she got really smart when I was about 25 or 30 years old. And of course, I'm being very silly, but what I want you to see is that a fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is more prone to success. All right, so here's the third type of proverb, and that is a synthetic proverb. A synthetic proverb. And what that is both lines have a different thought, but there's something in common in both thoughts. So it's going to kind of seem random to you, but if you really think about it, it has the same point to it. All right? So both lines have a different thought, but there's something in common in the thoughts. All right? Here's a good example of a synthetic proverb. Whoever hides hatred has lying lips. This is Proverbs 10:18. Whoever hides hatred has lying lips. Let me give you an example so maybe you can understand this. You ever dealt with somebody who talked very kindly and very nice to you to your face, but then later on you found out that really they didn't like you? And so the whole time they were dealing with you face to face, they were lying. Anybody? Maybe I'm the only one, okay? But so whoever hides hatred or has lying lips, but look at the opposite, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. Do you know what slander is? Slander is where you pass around malicious and false information, okay? So what it's saying, it sounds like it's saying two different things, but it's really saying the same thing. What's wrong with both of these? A heart issue. You got something going on the inside of you that needs to be dealt with. There's some hatred down in there, all right? So that's a synthetic proverb. Here's number four. Number four is an integral proverb, and that means that the second line completes the thought of the first line. A lot of these proverbs, you know, we'll see several examples here, will often have, you know, an and or a that, with a comma, okay? Let me show you some examples. So the second line completes the thought of the first. Proverbs 13:14 says this, the law of the wise is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. So if you pay attention to the law of the wise, it becomes a fountain of life to you and it'll turn you away from the snares of death. So that second line completes the thought of the first one. Here's another one. Proverbs 19, verse 20 says this, "Listen to counsel and receive instruction." Why? "That you may be wise in your latter days." Listen to counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter days. Now, here's one that I'm sure you've all probably heard, and that's this, Proverbs 22, 6. "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it." Now, I want to say something. Let me just comment on this particular scripture, this particular proverb. Notice it doesn't say train up the child in a way. It says the way. Now, there are many different styles of parenting, but there's only one way that you can train up a child that will point to a life of godliness. Okay? And we need to understand that. You can gather that just from the last word of the proverb, it. It is singular. All right, so train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. It what? It the way, the correct way that you taught him how to live. All right, see, sometimes we have a tendency, and the world will tell you this, well, you know, just however you want to raise up kids, that's fine. That's fine. However you want to do it, and that's not fine. Not if you want them to turn out in a biblical way and turn into godly people. All right, so here we go. All right, here's another one. Proverbs 22 says this. Proverbs 22, a good name is, actually it's supposed to be Proverbs 22:10, okay? Just change that. So 22:10 says this, "Cast out the scoffer and contention will leave, yes, strife and reproach will cease." Cast out the scoffer and contention will leave, yes, strife and reproach will cease. A scoffer is somebody who divides, who talks division. And I can tell you this from a leadership standpoint, if you put up with somebody in your organization that is divisive and spreading words of division and you don't deal with it, it's going to be like a cancer to that organization and it's ultimately going to destroy that organization. So you've got to cast out the person who does that. And guess what? There's something, I mean, I've seen it happen. It's miraculous. The moment you cast them out, all the strife leaves. You know why? Because it leaves with them. All right? So that's what this proverb is saying. All right, here's another one. Proverbs 22, verse 15 says this, "Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him." You know, there's another proverb that says that a parent, let me see how it says it. A parent, here's the gist of it. If you love your child, you're going to discipline your child. All right? I knew that proverb because my mother loved me, all right? So I always think about that when I read this particular proverb. So foolishness is bound up. My mother was determined to get that foolishness up out of my heart, all right? So here's the next type of proverb. Here's the fifth one, and that's a parabolic proverb, parabolic. You might understand or see the root word of that word parabolic is the root word parable. And you might understand a parable is an illustration. Jesus was skilled, extremely skilled in using parables in his teaching. But a parabolic proverb is the first line illustrates the second line. Now, I got some good ones for you here. You're going to love these, all right? And let me just say this, okay? These aren't pointed in anybody. They were just great examples. So please don't anybody get offended when we look at these, all right? Here we go. Proverbs 11:22 says this, "As a ring of gold in a swine's snout, so is a lovely woman who lacks discretion." Now, what's the point of that? The point is this. What good does it do to put solid gold, a gold ring, in the snout of a pig? Absolutely no good whatsoever. Well, so is a lovely woman who lacks discretion. Oh, I can tell that. I wasn't talking about anybody in here. All right. I love what the Message Bible says in that particular verse. Here we go. "Like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful face on an empty head." All right. I didn't write it. I just pulled it out for this particular lesson. All right. So again, the first part illustrates the principle in the second one. All right. Here's another one. This one's a good one. "As cold water to a weary soul, so is good news from a far country." Anybody ever maybe had a relative or somebody? I can remember when my brother was in the Air Force and actually, during the first Gulf War, there were several months there when Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait in August of what was that, 91? Wasn't it 91, Reggie? 90. Okay, my brother got deployed at that moment, And that we went from then until February of 91 that we had no communication with him. And I remember when we finally were able to get communication, and of course by this time the war had started, and thank God we didn't know then what we know now, because found out he was flying and was part of the initial attack into Baghdad and so forth. And but when he finally did get to communicate with his wife and with us, it was exactly like the scripture says. It was like a drink of cold water in a dry, thirsty land. In other words, it was such a relief to be able to hear his voice and to hear him and to receive communication. And that's exactly what this proverb is telling you, is that it's like as cold water, that's illustration to a weary soul, so is good news from a far country. I don't know if you've ever experienced that before. You've gotten some news from somebody, or maybe just a note or hello or a phone call or something. It refreshes you. So here's another one. Proverbs 26, verse 9. Like a thorn that goes into the hand of a drunkard is a proverb in the mouth of a fool. Now, you have to stop and think about this one for a little bit. I have personally, and I'm not saying this to as any point of pride or bragging, but I've never been drunk. So I don't know what it's like to be drunk. Well, let me rephrase that. I have been out of it on medication before, like following surgery. If that's what drunk is like, then I guess you could say I've been drunk. But here's my point. If you've ever been drunk and you've gotten a thorn in your hand, or maybe a bruise, or let me say it this way. Anybody ever been drunk, sobered up, and then you look at yourself and go, how did that happen? Okay, some of y'all, that's happened. Okay, all right. So that... Okay, that's a perfect illustration, okay? Yeah. Okay, here's the thing. That drunk never felt that thorn going in his hand, all right? And it caused a lot of pain, and the drunk was never aware of the pain that it caused, all right? Look at the latter part of that. So is a proverb in the mouth of a fool. You ever seen somebody that was just, you know, it would be like, back in school, the class clown all of a sudden got real serious and said something like a proverb. And everybody like, I can't take that serious because of who you are and the way you live and all that kind of stuff. It's absolutely meaningless. That's the same thing, all right? So here's another one. Proverbs 26, verse 20. Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. All right, that's pretty self-explanatory. Where there is no talebearer, and here's another way of saying that, where there is no gossip, strife ceases. So that tells me that that gossip is the gasoline or fuel to strife, or can be. All right, so again, an illustration and then the principle. Here's the NIV version of that same verse. Without wood, a fire goes out. Without a gossip, a quarrel dies down. All right, now here's some others. Again, I don't have anybody in mind when I'm looking at this one. Here we go. Proverbs 27, verse 15. A quarrelsome wife is like the dripping of a leaky roof in a rainstorm. Okay, anybody ever, I don't have anybody in mind, but let me tell you just a second. Anybody ever had like a faucet? Just, you didn't have to say anything, Jody. Nobody would have thought anything, all right? I know, yeah, y'all need to talk after church, okay? But here's what Solomon is saying. You ever been sitting in a quiet room and the faucet drip, 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 drip? I don't know about you, but that drives me bananas, okay? I have to get up and I have to do something about it. I have to turn, make sure the faucet's off, or, you know, whatever. So what this scripture is saying, what this proverb is saying, let me show you the contemporary English version. The CEV says this: the steady dripping of rain and the nagging of a wife are one and the same. Now, ladies, I am going to get on the men in another lesson when we start talking about laziness and slothfulness. So don't worry about it, okay? All right, okay? So the steady dripping of rain and the nagging of a wife are one and the same. What does that mean? Ladies, by annoying your husband, by nagging all the time, you're not going to accomplish anything. That's what the point is, all right? So, Judy, don't do that anymore. All right, okay? All right. Here's number six. This is the sixth type of proverb, and that's a comparative proverb. Comparative proverb. And that tells us that the first line tells us something, and then it's always includes the word better. So the first line tells us that something is better than what's in the second line. And it'll most all the time contain the word better. Here's some examples in Proverbs 15, verses 16 and 17. It says this, better, there's your word, is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. I can testify to that. I mean, I would rather be in a relationship with God and have little than have great treasure and have no relationship with God. Okay, now God's all for you having great treasure, but if you had the choice, I would choose having the little and have a relationship with God. Here's the latter part of this. Better is a dinner of herbs. Now what that means is vegetables, okay? And I'm going to paraphrase this. So better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted calf with hatred. Let me tell you what this proverb is saying. Better is a vegetarian dish, a dish full of vegetables, than filet mignon in a room full of hatred. Okay? Better is a vegetable plate where there's love present than in an environment where you're eating filet mignon and the tension is so high because there's hatred in the room. All right? Wouldn't you agree with that? All right? See, I'd rather have just some simple little vegetables with somebody that I love than be having a four-course, five-course meal with somebody that I know hates my guts. All right? Just here's another one. Better is a dry morsel with quietness than a house full of feasting or partying with strife. The phrase there, dry morsel, literally means this. Better is a dry, moldy piece of bread with quietness or peace than a house full of everything you could possibly want and partying with strife. Okay? It's so true. So true. All right, here's another one. And again, have nobody in mind with this. Better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a contentious woman. In other words, better to sleep on a roof in the corner of the roof by yourself than in a five-bedroom house with a contentious woman. Now, apparently Solomon had some issues with women. I don't know, but, you know, because he seems to be bringing this up a lot. All right, so that's the six types of Proverbs. So as you're reading through Proverbs, when you see the word better or the word but, B-U-T, and those types of things, it'll help you understand the proverb. And I want to say this, that a lot of times when you're reading through Proverbs, I know this happens to me occasionally, that you're going to find some things that might not make sense. And what I want to encourage you to do is get some resources, go online, do what you need to do, and study some things out, because I promise you it does make sense, all right? And it does have some wisdom contained in those verses. Now, I want to say this to you as well. While I'm talking, turn back to the first chapter of Proverbs. And I want to start there, and I'm going to begin to dissect some things so you can kind of understand some stuff. I want to say this to you. Knowledge comes from the Word of God, but it's wisdom that we need, all right? So what I want you to understand, wisdom comes by the Holy Spirit. Knowledge comes that while we're exposing ourselves to the Word. Now, I'm going to help you understand this a little bit more. You're there in Proverbs 1. Let's look at verse 2. He said, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David. And then verse 2 says this, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. All right? Let me show you this verse. I highlighted these three words, wisdom, instruction, and understanding. And here's why a little bit of study will help you go a long ways so you can understand the difference between these three words, because just reading through it quickly, you would think that they all kind of mean the same thing, and they don't. All right, so let's break this down. Let's look at some details. All right, so he says the purpose of Proverbs is to know wisdom. So what is wisdom? Wisdom, as we said earlier, is the correct application of knowledge. So Solomon desired, or God desires by the Holy Spirit, for you to gain correct application of knowledge. All right. The next thing he said is that you would receive instruction. Instruction here is actually the Hebrew word for discipline. It's something that we don't like, but it's key to our growth in the Lord, is discipline. So instruction is there to help discipline you, to help us become disciplined. By the way, you do understand that the root word of discipline is disciple. So if we're going to be disciples of Christ, then we're going to have some discipline in our lives, spiritual discipline, all right? Then here's the third one, understanding. And I want to talk about this for just a second, because you're going to see this word a lot in Proverbs. Matter of fact, there's a proverb, I believe it's in chapter 3, that says, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. All right, so what is understanding? Understanding is really when knowledge becomes revealed to you and you're able to connect the dots. You're able to connect the dots. Let me use an illustration from a natural standpoint. You know, I did not do well in math in school. I mean, the highest level of math that I got to by the time I was a senior in high school was Algebra 2. And I had friends that were in calculus and trigonometry and all this other kind of stuff. And they would talk about what they were doing, and I could not understand it. And here's why. And I don't blame my teacher, but I think the teacher had a hand to do with it, because in my senior year in math, my teacher was a college professor at UNCC. So she taught and dealt with us like she was dealing with her students over at UNCC. She had no patience. She had no... just would throw the information out there, would not explain stuff very well. And so as a result of that, I could not understand some basic principles of algebra and so forth. Here's why. Because I could not connect the dots. I know there was a lot of discussion about X and Y and to the third power and stuff like that. But, you know, I could not understand what was happening. Now, by contrast to that, I took chemistry that same year and made straight A's in chemistry. Now, I don't know if you know much about chemistry, but you deal with formulas and problems that are very similar to those mathematical equations. But here's the thing. I had an instructor or a teacher that was able to make it plain for me and explain it in a way to where I was able to connect the dots and I was able to make it work. Now, here's what I want you to see. It's one thing to have knowledge, but where wisdom comes in is where you're able to take knowledge and instruction and understand it by connecting the dots. And what God does with His Word is He presents it in a way, and I want to say this to you, that in order for us to be able to experience what God is wanting us to experience in life, we're going to have to connect the dots. So you're going to have to stay with God's Word and make yourself available to some resources, maybe, you know, like you guys are doing on Bible study and so forth, so that you can begin to connect the dots of what God is trying to say to us. Are you tracking with me? Do you understand that? So again, he says that what God is trying to get across to us in Proverbs is this wisdom, so you'll know how to apply knowledge correctly, is instruction so you can be disciplined, and then thirdly, so that you can connect the dots in life as we live life God's way, all right? So here's another verse. Well, let me say this. Again, wisdom is the correct application or the use of that knowledge. Once you get knowledge, then you have to have wisdom. Now, here's something I want you to understand about knowledge. Knowledge is your responsibility. Wisdom is God's responsibility. Now, that's key. Notice James 1:5. I didn't include it, but look, James 1:5. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. We talked about that last week, you remember? Okay. Notice it does not say, if any man lacks knowledge, let him ask of God. It says, if any man lacks wisdom. Why? Because knowledge is your responsibility and my responsibility. That's why God gave us a book called a Bible, so we can gain some knowledge. But it's God's responsibility to cause that knowledge to become wisdom to us. And that's what the ministry of the Holy Spirit will do. So the knowledge of God's Word will not help you until you are able to connect the dots and begin to walk it out. All right? So look at Proverbs 1:3. Says this, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. Now, there are three things, apart from wisdom, in this verse that God says He wants to get over to you. All right? Here's what justice means in this particular verse. It means that you learn how to treat people fairly in life. Anybody have to deal with people? Okay. Would you like to know how to deal with people and treat people fairly in life? All right, I do. All right, here's the next one. Judgment. God wants you to understand some things about judgment. Now, not judgment like Sodom and Gomorrah judgment. I'm talking about judgment where you know what to say yes to and what to say no to. That's judgment. Because if there are certain things that you want in life, there are going to be some things that you have to say no to. You know, we're getting ready to start in the latter part of June, Financial Peace University. You know, when you're starting in Financial Peace University and your goal is to get out of debt, you need to understand something. There's going to be some things that you're going to have to say no to if you want that end result. You know, as far as other things in life, you know, health, fitness, all those types of things, if you're wanting to be fit or if you're wanting to be healthy, you're going to have to say no to some things and yes to some other things. That's judgment. That's what judgment enables you to do. And then the last word that's used there is the word equity. And I had to look this up in the Hebrew, and it's very, very interesting to me. And it comes from a picture in the Hebrew language. And the picture is this. If you had a bottle, and it literally talked about wine, if you had a pitcher, let's say a pitcher full of wine, and you were able to pour that wine out into a glass, and that wine or Kool-Aid, whatever whatever you're okay with, all right, it flowed out of that pitcher and smoothly flowed into that glass. That's what this word equity means, all right? In other words, what this word means is this. It means to be able to keep a smooth, right flow in your life. To be able to keep a smooth, right flow in your life. Anybody ever dealt with times and seasons in your life where it just seems like chaos is going on? I mean, and you step back and you go, I don't know what's going on. All right? Probably it could be that, yeah, there might be some external things that are happening, but could it be that you're not walking in what God's trying to get across in your life, where He's trying to get this justice, judgment, and smooth flow into your life so that your life works a little bit different? All right? So these are three things that God wants you and me to be able to walk in. We know how to treat people fairly. We know when to say yes and when to say no. And then how to structure our life so things flow smoothly. I don't know about you, but I like smooth. Anybody else? All right. Okay. Then in Proverbs 1:4, he says this, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. That phrase, prudence to the simple, means this, common sense to the naive or immature person. You know, God wants you to have common sense. God wants us to have common sense. So he says, the Proverbs, if we'll study and make ourselves available to the Proverbs, that they will give common sense to those who are naive. Now, there's nothing wrong with being naive, and there's nothing wrong with being immature, except at a point where you should be mature. Okay? So Proverbs is designed to give you common sense. All right? I love the Good News Bible version of this particular verse, and it says this, Proverbs can make an inexperienced person clever and teach young people how to be resourceful. That's pretty plain right there. I mean, if we can get Proverbs, if we can learn the wisdom that God's trying to get to us, it'll make an inexperienced person clever and teach young people how to be resourceful. Here's the Message version of this particular verse. It says this, to teach the inexperienced the ropes and give our young people a grasp on reality. How many of you know our young people need a grasp on reality sometimes? Okay? We need to teach them. That's what Proverbs is designed to do. All right? How many of you have ever needed a little bit of discretion in your life? Okay? Well, Proverbs is designed to give you some discretion. And discretion is the ability to look at a situation and assess it and make the right decision. You know, we're talking on Sundays about making good decisions in our lives. A lot of that comes with wisdom that will give you discretion. God wants to give you discretion. Here's the last verse, Proverbs 1:5. Says this, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. Now here's what I want you to get, and obviously I'm preaching to the choir when I say this, but don't ever come to Bible study or come to church, and if you hear a subject come out of my mouth or somebody else's mouth, don't ever let your mind go, oh, I've heard that before. Okay? Let your mind say, I've heard that before, but there's still more I can learn about that. There's still more insight I can gain. Because look at what this says. A wise man will hear and increase learning. It doesn't say a wise man will have heard and will increase learning. And a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. Always approach the Word of God. Even when, you know, and I know what it's like sometimes. You know, sometimes in the morning when I get up and it's time for me to have my devotional time and, you know, I do my Bible reading. I don't go skipping into the room every day and go, oh boy, it's time to read the Bible again. I mean, I don't know if you do, but I don't. I'm being honest, okay? But I do go in there with a hard attitude and I try and stop and say, okay, Lord, I know I've read some of these scriptures 100 times, but show me what you're trying to say to me. Let me learn from them. It says a wise man will do that. And I believe that's you, all right? So we're going to stop right there for tonight. So you begin to understand and dissect some things from the book of Proverbs, and you understand what's going on. So I really want to encourage you. And here we are. Tomorrow is the 1st of June. So, and you know that there's only 30 days in June, so you're going to have to double up one day, all right? But I encourage you, start tomorrow and read a chapter from the book of Proverbs every day. And then, you know, let me say this to you as well. Nothing against the King James, but please don't try and read it from the King James Bible, okay? Because you don't speak in these and thous and all that kind of stuff. I don't either. Get you a translation that you can understand. Use your Bible app if you want to. Take some time and read through it and begin to understand what God is trying to say to you. And I promise you, you'll begin to sense the wisdom of God rising out of your heart. And it's going to boggle your mind sometimes because you're going to be minding your own business doing something over here and confront a situation, and all of a sudden one of those proverbs that you read is going to come floating up out of your heart. And it's going to help change the course of your life, maybe change the direction of your thinking at that moment, or it could even save your life. You don't know. All right? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our time together tonight. Lord, I thank you for your word. Thank you for the book of Proverbs and, Father, the wisdom that's contained in it. Help us, Lord, to extract the wisdom that you want us to have. Father, thank you for revealing it to us, imparting it into our thinking. And, Lord, we just believe that we receive. We want your wisdom, Father. And so we ask you for it. We thank you for it. And we believe that we receive it right now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.